Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and hotep. Welcome to the Curator Read Room. You have your Omiinka live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you, and I'd like to say Happy New Year once again to those newcomers. Welcome to the room. And to my old friends, I say Habari Ghani. What's up? What's happening? And we are still working on the topic of working with the youngest child in the family. That's right, the youngest child in the family. We are going to be continuing on talking about the male child and the uniqueness of the male child. Yesterday, we were going to cover that topic of the uniqueness of the male child. However, we were not able to cover all of that. So we're going to continue on with that topic of talking about the African-American child, the male child in the family, and what are some of the necessities that they require at home as well as in the academia side of the classroom. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know this or not, but boys are different from girls. You know that they are different. They're not the same. They require something different. Yes, they do. And we are going to be breaking some things down from my new book entitled The Effects That Females Have on African-American Males Coupled with Their Culture. Culture is everything, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't want you to get it twisted, because we have to understand that without culture in our lives, we cannot begin to have a frame of reference, a set norm. Now, we were just talking today in our symposium about the need for arts and culture, and how you cannot begin to live unless you bring in the artist and let the artist lay down the structure of the culture. And from the culture, everything else stems: our way of life, our religion, our lifestyle, and the way and the norm in which we cultivate ourselves. So we're going to get right into our topic, ladies and gentlemen. And I want you to know that our chat room will be open, and we invite you in with your questions. And we want you to lock that number in at 646-478-0270. Lock it in, little G. I said keep it right there. The chat room is now open, and we have sent the messages to let you know that we are now officially live and on the air. And I'd like you to know that you're certainly welcome here. And to my old friends who have been following me, thank you so much for following me throughout the year. I certainly do appreciate it. And to those who have not had a chance to frequent this room, why don't you come in and be a friend? We're friendly here, and we certainly would love to have you. Just lock in that dial at 646-478-0270. You're certainly going to want to call in on this topic, ladies and gentlemen, because we are going to be talking about things that the African-American male has in his character that we would not normally talk about. There has been several researchers out there researching a comparison about the number of minutes spent for response time in the classroom for the boy as well as for the girl. And research has found that there is more waiting time for the girl to respond than for the boy. It is assumed that the boy doesn't know the answer, so the teacher goes right on to the next girl in line. Does that sound biased to you? Well, it certainly is, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we're addressing the biases that go on in the classroom as well as in the community with our African male child. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back at you in the air as we go to station identification, Away in a Manger. We'll meet you back in the air. Welcome back, family. Now, we're going to get right into this topic, but first we're going to pay some acknowledgement in our tribute that we do in our daily ritual. We are standing, lifting holy hands. Will you please come to the position of prayer with your hands lifted up as if you're about to receive? And if you do have your list of ancestors' names, be careful to go ahead and call them out while I'm reciting mine. I'd like to first acknowledge Oladulamare, who is also known as Akamare. Oladulamare is a manifestation of the three godhead, Ilede, Olorun, as well as Ori, who is clothed in matter. We pour water to the ground in our acknowledgement to acknowledge our higher self. And we say Ashe. Ashe means so be it, so let it be done. I like to pour libations to my mother spirit, and I say Ashe. I pour a libation to my father spirit, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the east, and I say Ashe. I call on Shekez Diaz to be a witness. I pour libations to the west, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the south, and I say Ashe. I call libations. I call for libations to the north, and I say Ashe. I like to call on Dr. Martin Luther King and Sweet Coretta, As to Be a Witness, Nina Simone, also Dr. Carruthers. I call on Dr. Clark to be a witness, and we call on those ancestors that are in our lineage, Robert Jenkins, Clara Mae Jenkins, Ruby Jenkins. Also, we call on Essely Pope, Mary Lou Hawkins, Tommy Pete Harvey, Tommy Harvey, Michelle Harvey. We call on our ancestors to acknowledge them, because we would be a damn fool if we weren't reminded to mention their names. It is up to the living to stay in touch with the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to our ritual. And if you have needs, the atmosphere is vibrating. Tap into the energies. The energies are here. You can receive from the frequencies now. If you have need for your children, please tap in. Once again, the prayer for the family. It is my wish that everyone at the sound of my voice will come into consciousness, and that they will begin to frame their reference from their mental state and their consciousness. They will not walk after flesh, but after spirit. My prayer is that they will come into consciousness and be aware of what it is our children need, and be aware that our children are different and unique. Our children, the male child especially, is unique, and we must understand that only iron can sharpen iron. Mothers, you can lay the foundation, but fathers, you must come in and pair up with those mothers and come in significant others and lead the way in mentoring our male children. Our male children are being cast aside, and they have been lined up for the penal institution. Well, we're not going to prepare them for the penal institution. We're going to deviate them from that route. And mothers, you ought to know that it is decided upon at the third grade level, the reading level, as to how to determine whether or not they will need additional jail cells. They calculate the number of failing students at third grade who are illiterate to determine how many jail cells they will need. So mothers, let us step in and trouble the waters, and let us come in and deviate. Like we indicated with Oromana, he has the capability to deviate and to change the course of one's life. Let us change the course of our children's life, and let us deviate from the plan, because man plans, but God is the best of planners. So why don't you step aside, those of you who have planned death for our children, and realize the mothers have decided we are going to wait upon the Lord. And we know that God is the best of planners, and it's God's plan for us that we should succeed and not fail. Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen. You ought to pray a prayer of faith, and you ought to pray a prayer of commitment. Take your salvation by force, and you ought to command God to watch over his word. He said, command you me to watch over his word to perfect it. He said we would be the head and not the tail. We would be the cornerstone from which the pillar was built. I want to say this to you. We're talking on the subject of how do we lay the path for our male child, the African-American male. There's nothing that I know any better than working with male children. I spent the predominant part of my school teaching working and observing and studying black male boys for over 4 years, to be exact, consistently, and taking notes and observing and recording them. I have a collection of recording tapes where boys articulated to me, black boys, what their preference was in the realm of male-female gender for teaching. They shared with me some of the deepest moments from their heart and talked about some of the most awful things that happened to them from being black and being a male child. And they believe that had they not been a black boy, that they would have fared differently. These are young, impressionable young boys from the age of preschool, kindergarten, all the way to third grade that were observed. Now, here is my collective research. And you don't have to believe what Omi is saying. You can check out my book. It's in writing, and it will be published at the end of this year, and you can pick it up and read it and see for yourself. These are documented evidence. Now, as I told you, the study was done yesterday on looking at the Westerner children opposed to the African children in Africa. And they were children who developed much faster than the Westerners' children in their ability to thrive, crawl, talk, and use language, and also their ability to be potty trained. Now, in talking about the African-American male child, melanin is what I want to put in your ear today. Can you say melanin? Say it with me, melanin. We are now seeing melatonin tablets in our stores, and they're being sold by the bushels. Melatonin is used to relax you and to also guard your cells and to assist you and aid you in preventing you from being exposed to free radicals. Now, melatonin is also used to develop the tone of the hues in the skin tone. And some people who have AIDS sometimes want to take melatonin because it actually beefs up the immune deficiency. Now, I don't know if you remember when those African-American boys were discovered lost or they were kidnapped in Atlanta. When they found the boys, as they were scattered, the black males, they found that their scrotums were extracted and they were drained of all their melanin. Now, who would do such a thing to drain someone of the melanin? How could they use it? Someone that had to have a scientific background, I would suppose. Nevertheless, the melanin is highly concentrated in the brain, in the medulla oblongata, and in the testicles of the male African-American male, as well as the boy, which we're talking about now. We know that melanin is so doggone powerful that a child need not pick up a pencil to extract or to implement or to transcribe. He only needs to take his body and rub his melanin skin up against tools, instrument, and academic books and material. The child kinesthetically, the learning bypasses the brain barrier so that through the actual largest cell of the body, which is the skin, the child can pick up vibrations and learn through just touching. So therefore, when we see African-American children touching and caressing and manipulating things, they are observing and learning. And when you see the child put something up to his face and his eyes and rubs it on his skin, he is learning through his melanin. That is something no other race of people have been observed doing. So if it's going to bypass the brain barrier and the learning takes place right there in the midst of the child emerging himself into the cognitive apparatus, then that child, I'm going to go get an official on you, and I'm going to put my lab coat on now so I can flip my collar and say, Professor Garth, what do you think? Some of you didn't know that I'm a visiting lecturer and have been a visiting lecturer for Purdue University, so I got my lab coat on today. I'm ready. So why don't you call in at 646-478-0270. I'm in my zone now. What I'm talking about is something that I know from my spirit, and avatars have dropped information down in my spirit about children, something and someone I care dearly about. Now, here are these children who are full of melanin, having the capability to just vibrate and wave their hand over a cognitive concept and can pick the concept up, and they are not learning from apart like we would like to believe, breaking everything down into little intimacies to come to a whole. They want to know the outcome. They want to see the whole outcome, and they work their way back to apart. That is an African concept. And yesterday, as I told you about the concept of them working like little ants, That's cooperative learning. That is another African concept. It is not a Westerner's concept. It derived from Africa. And a whole to a part is also the African concept. So teachers, when you start teaching these African-American children, do not start showing them from the intimacy of the parts and the holes and the part goes to the next part. The child will take it and flip it over and say, you mean this? This is what we're looking for, isn't it? And sometimes they won't show their work. They will just give you a solution because they're critically thinking in their flesh where melanin is. It has a brain, ladies and gentlemen. Melanin has a brain. So you didn't know I lectured on melanin because I was so busy talking about everything else. But I am a lecturer over melanin. I lecture in international places on the topic of melanin. There are researches now being conducted with tons of money that people are studying our stuff, our melanin. We ought to go after those grants and begin to start to study to better understand our children and their deficits that we would like to call them. I don't call them deficits because every one of us have a deficit. Every one of us are handicapped in some way. There is no one that is utopically measuring up with all aspects of learning. We all have a deficit in some way. Now, here's what I want to tell you about the black male. They are rambunctious by nature. They are noisy by nature. They are calculating. They are taking risk factors. They are maneuvering. They are sizing up. So when you sit them down, they may be in a corner playing with the blocks while you giving instruction on another topic of math, and they're picking it up through their vibration. So they are learned. And when you say, oh, but you're not paying attention, they say, but I am. I know the answer. I can tell you how you derive at that equation because their skin and vibration of their melanin, the largest organ of their body, the skin, can pick up vibrations and learning takes place without a paper and a pen for the African-American child. Now, anybody want to try me on it or challenge me, come on in this room. Bring your data. Bring your documentation. Dr. Carroll, who studied melanin and is an expert, will back me up on it. I'm not standing on my own today. I have expert opinion that I can stand up with. Now, they're counting me down. But my question is, mother, you need to know who your black male child is. You need to understand that you're going to have to take more time for his response time than your daughter, Nellie, who always responds on time, that you normally give more time and minutes to respond, teacher. So we're talking about the black child that has melanin. How is he different from other races of children? He's different because he carries the abundant melanin in the brain. Melanin is the most abundant chemical in the body that cocaine also bonds to. So you're saying, Omi, that this cocaine was created for the melanin? Some would like to think so, because when you create an element of a bonding powder, a bonding situation, you would have to know something about the brain in order to know that cocaine is going to bond to it. So even though that person may go and get treatment and be rehabilitated, the cocaine in the brain is bonded there, and he keeps repeatedly having that experience from the cocaine, which is bonded in the brain. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that Ritalin is a drug. You have to understand it's a psychotropic drug. You have to understand that all of the deficit medicines are drugs. So when you give it to the child, it bonds to parts of the brain. You have to understand that there are alternative treatment to the drugs which are causing psychotropic behaviors. Children who are given the drug look sedated. They look drawn. They look like they're in another place. They look like the spirit has been tampered with. I know this because I specialize in working with nothing but African-American male boys who were attention deficit disorder. Some of these children had the capability of learning, but once you gave them the drug, they became listless and uninterested. But because of their melanin, some of them superseded because the melanin in the body compensated and it learned through the vehicle of the skin. I've seen children work against their deficit and still be gifted in other areas while having a remediation problem in other areas. As a specialist in working with black boys, I recommend that after fourth grade, that child no longer sits in a classroom with a female teacher, but there must be a partnering of a male teacher that intervenes to start to set precedence for ironing and sharpening that iron of that young male boy. He is now fully grown up. At 12 years old, he's a full-grown male. Black children mature faster. They are fully grown up at the age of 12 years old, matriculating with their pubic hairs and their body features and hair and everything. They are fully grown at that point, and they can begin to function like adults. So at that point, they have to learn the reason, and the male must intervene to take over the reins where it used to be a right brain learning from the creative side. Now the curriculum takes on a logical left brain side, and that child begins to fail because he once had all of the right brain curriculum activities. Now it's logical. So what are we going to do? We're going to look at how we can change curriculum and how we can get duality in the classroom so the male can be there to mentor that fourth grade young man before he starts to fail. Now they're looking at children failing at third grade level via their statistics of their literacy level of reading. So you have black boys that are ticketed and targeted for the penal institution if they have a literacy problem and can't read. The majority of the special boys that I work with that was told that they couldn't learn, they were gifted. They had some aspect that they were gifted in, whether it be numbers, science, artistically, but they were gifted. Their hyperactivity was just a facade, and they compensated for all the energy they had. The energy had to be directed. And once you direct that energy, the child becomes multitasking and can do more than one thing successfully. That is nothing wrong with that. I see a lot of multitasking mothers and fathers who work in the industry of management all the time. They observe you, mother, when you are doing several things in the kitchen and taking care of the children at the same time. So are you getting a label of attention deficit disorder, or are you calling yourself multitasking? So I'd like for you to revisit this thing called attention deficit disorder. And before you take the label of attention deficit disorder, mother, make sure that you go in and have a doctor, an MD, perform the EEG and the brain waves and also possibly a lumbar puncture so that they can look at the brain stem to see what is going on in the brain while the brain is awake and asleep. So we can look at the delta stage and we can find out what is happening in the child's brain before you have a true official deficit in a child. Otherwise, they have been some false diagnoses that were created, and children are on medication who should not be. So once again, are we preparing our children for penal institution by doping them up with psychotropic drugs? We need to assess that situation. We need to look into it because there's too many black males that are getting that diagnosis. And now the black men are getting the diagnosis of schizophrenic when it was once designed as a white female condition. And it was one that was created. So how is it that the black man now is getting the label of schizophrenic when it didn't exist at one time? We have a problem, ladies and gentlemen. but we're not going to be able to solve it all in one sitting here today. But if you come with me tomorrow, we'll be on it again, and we'll be ready to try to solve this problem. And we're asking you to come with us to solve this problem, ladies and gentlemen, because we can do it. We can do this together, and I know we can. And I'd like to thank you for talking with me and being a part of this show today. I'd like to thank you for even coming in the room and hearing on me out. It is my prayer that you will begin to start watching your children and you will begin to start checking that child out and making sure that you are not showing partiality and biases in the black male child, which is what has been happening. I'd like to come back to the home to be on the same part. Challenge me. I double dare you. Come on in so we can have a discussion, a solid discussion. I got my lab coming on now. I'm officially in your lab right now. Thank you so very much for a blast from the class, and thank you so much for coming in to be a part of what we're doing in this room, and that is putting our children back on the path, a path of righteousness. And your parents and teachers understand that we're part of the problem. Thank you so much, and you've been listening to Maddie Harvey's baby sister, who's finally grown up. Thank you very much. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that these topics that I'm bringing to you are topics that would normally be topics that I would lecture on normally in boardrooms, in staffing, in staff development. These are topics that I've lectured on before. It's nothing that I scratch my head, and I've actually been on tour on the melanin concept in our black boys and the effects that teachers have on black males. So I've been a professional in that arena with some of the best people to negate my pedagogical philosophies and my concept. Once again, you need to know my pedagogical philosophy is that I have a hypothesis that there is a conspirator and a conspiratee. And the teacher carries out the conspirator instruction, and we are co-enablers. We are co-enabling our black boys to fail because we take the mission to lead them into special ed without questioning anything, and we prepare them and send them up for the kill. And at the same time, we co-enable them because we do not command them to learn, and we do not put the same criteria on them to achieve and learn like we do the girl. So therefore, we are becoming co-enablers, and I want teachers to stop being co-enablers that are female teachers, and I want them to understand we don't have to just love our boys and raise our girls, but we can also raise our young boys, and we can also give them a set of standards that they can rise to the level of occasion to. So this is my pedagogical philosophy for any of those who would like to know where I stand on such topics. Thank you so very much, and once again, thank you for joining us, and we will see you tomorrow bright and early in this Care to Read room. So why don't you bring your best shot and your topics and your discussion and bring them in this room. We want to break bread with you. We want to talk to you about how to help you with your failing black men in academics. One thing I can do is put it back on the path. Mother, it's up to you to continue to be in the training of that black male child. Remember, you're raising a God, and when you're raising a God, you don't want everybody's hands on your child. Raise that God up and direct him, and he will rise up and call you blessed. Raise him up, and let him call you blessed. Come, let us adore those gifted and talented children. They're everywhere. We have to mold them into those gifted and talented children. We have to mold them into those gifted and talented children, ladies and gentlemen. And we have to understand that all of our children have the light in their eye. But you can't extinguish the light. You can turn the light on. Well, why don't you keep the light on in John Boy's room and keep making sure that he is being challenged and that he is living up to the part. Here in Gary, Indiana, we have a collapsing system with all faculties on alert because everything needs fixing now. Sometimes you must collapse things in order for it to start all over again. So we have a new beginning here in Gary, Indiana. We have a system that is starting over from scratch, and there are many jobs that need to be done. And one of them is our education system, and one of them is our cultural and diversity arena. These are the things that you cannot live without. Your cultural, gifted, artistic people are the first that the king will save because he needs to reinvent himself in the event of a war. You take the gifted and talented and crafty people who are artists and you preserve them so they can recreate the future for you. So let us recreate our future together. As we work here in Gary, Indiana, with our new mayor to recreate the future and to take a collapsing system and start anew, I say to you, if your school systems are failing in the urban city, then your job is to get in to that school system, get behind those administrators and teachers, and turn it around. Somebody got to straighten it out. So why not let it be you today? Get into those classrooms and talk about the fourth grade failing syndrome in the third grade, and talk about the black male child having a separate classroom being trained separately from the girls once turning fourth grade. Talk about these things, and don't let anyone tell you that it's discriminating for boys to be separated from girls when their children are oftentimes separated in these boarding schools. They know what it takes to make a man because they're making men every day, and they're passing down the mantle to these young men that are in other races and telling them, you are going to lead the family. I want you to tell your young men, mothers and fathers, that no, you're not going to lead the family until you've been trained. Quit giving these young men the rein and say, here, lead the family. You must first teach and train them. They must have tutelage first. And once you give them training, then maybe they can lead the family. They're growing up robustly as a man, but their bodies are like a man, but their mind is still like a little boy. But you can change that. You can begin to lay the foundation to cultivate young men so that they're not killed off and they are dead before the age of 25. We're going to work very hard to save our black men. And I'm going to get behind you, parents, to help you save those black men so they can beat the statistics and get beyond the age of 25. Now, I don't care what anybody says. If somebody's tapping in, listening in, I'm going to do what I know is right. And I know that black boys have no business being killed off and being hustled off into prisons. I know they don't. And those who think contrary to that, let the ancestors hear you say something about destroying our black boys and see how